On the other side, there's some generator motivations too. You know, why would a generator want to be part of a pun? The first and more common one now is that it helps you avoid congestion and curtailment. Out in the western part and southern parts of Texas, again, they have the same transmission problems that many oil and gas producers face when they're trying to plug in. Except it's the reverse. They don't have enough transmission to get them to the rest, you know, to the main centers of demand on the ERCOT grid. So, you know, during periods of high prices, what they often find is that, you know, they're being told to turn off. In ERCOT speak, that's called curtailment. Or there's congestion, too many people are trying to put power onto the grid, and the prices that they're receiving are much lower than the prices the rest of the grid is paying. And so a way around that is to have an on-site load at a fixed cost. And that can be a big help if you have a wind farm in a highly constrained area. And even if you're in an area without those issues, having on-site generation can often result in higher prices. And that's because where I spoke about earlier, if you're a customer and you're saving money by reducing your transmission charges, often you can negotiate to share, the generator can negotiate to share some of that. So, brings up the next question. This sounds great, you know, it has a lot of advantages for both customers and generators. Is it legal? Well, there's three different categories you can look at. First, there's self-service. And that's very clearly legal. You're allowed in Texas law to serve yourself. Then there's also a category for qualifying co-generators. And again, that's legal. But there's a third category. And that's sort of the things that don't fall into the other ones. And the answer to that, well, is maybe. I first encountered a private use network along those lines when I was still working at the Public Utility Commission. I got a phone call from a very disgruntled rural co-op general manager who called, and he was just so angry that there was this, you know, rich city wind farm coming into his rural co-op, and they were going to put a data center, and they weren't going to, you know, it was his right to serve the data center, and his rights are being infringed, and I, as the PUC lawyer, needed to do something about it for him. And I looked at him, and like a, you know, it was probably 3:45, and for those of you that don't know, 4 o'clock, 4 p.m., that's like quitting time if you're at the state. And so I was, you know, like a good state employee, I said, this company has a lot of money and wants to do something in your service territory, and you're telling me you don't have much money. This seems like a solvable problem. Why don't you go work it out? The next morning, I get a phone call from a very slick big city attorney representing the wind farm, and she says, look, hey, you're going to get a phone call from a very upset cooperative, but I want to tell you why what we're doing is actually legal. And I said, hang on, I don't really have time to deal with this. I'm going to tell you the exact same thing I told him. Go work it out. And so that's been sort of the mindset that the PUC has given. And because of that, there's not a whole lot of case law on this topic. The only two bodies that would really rule on it are the PUC and the courts. And the PUC has been very much letting its young staff attorneys tell people, go figure out on your own. We don't want to hear about it. In fact, it's only been litigated once, and at that point they said, you know, we're going to turn a blind eye, and that was about 15 years ago, and so I'll get to that in a bit. So let's talk about the first category that clearly is legal, self-service. So under PURA, it's the Public Utility Regulatory Act, that's the act that governs the utility sector in Texas. An electric utility is somebody that owns or operates for compensation equipment, and then there's a long goes on, that's used really for power. But however, you're not an electric utility if you furnish an electric service or commodity only to yourself, to your employees, or to your tenants. So there's three categories of self-service: using it yourself, for your employees, and for your tenants. The obvious example of that would be if you have a solar panel on your roof, and you're using that power, that does not make you an electric utility. You're serving yourself. If you have it on your grocery store and your staff members in your grocery store are using it, you know, you're not one because you're letting your employees use the power. Or if you have a strip center or some sort of industrial park with your own power facility, or even at a factory level, often big factories will have lots of separately incorporated entities on it that are leasing property from the factory. Well, in those scenarios, that's all can still be self-service if it's incident to employment in Tennessee. And I'm not going to get into the kind of that distinction of what tenancy is. There's a lot of nuance there. But it's not necessarily clear what serving yourself is from that statute. And so there was actually a case about it. It's Destic Energy versus HLNP. And in that case, Lyndell had this great idea. They said, all right, we have a a big factory, and we also have an affiliate that has a power plant. And so why don't we turn this power plant into a joint general partnership? So it's not separately incorporated. This is a true general partnership where liability would flow through. And we'll call it self-service. We're going to own half of it and use half the power. No one's getting hurt. Well, HLNP disagreed. They filed a lawsuit. The court ruled, sided with HLNP, and they ruled that whenever electricity moves from the partnership to the partners, it's moving between distinct and separate entities, and it's not self-service. So that's kind of the first tenet. If you're selling, if it's between two separate legal entities, it's not self-service. There's also a complaint case at the PUC that happened about a decade later that also kind of further illuminates that. And this is sort of one of those sad cases of regulatory red tape gone awry. TXU, back its predecessor to Luminant and now today TXU and Oncor, they owned a power plant with an associated coal mine, and they were self-serving this coal mine. And in the 70s or 80s, as the PUC made them turn it into two separate entities so they could better regulate rates. They wanted to make sure that the